might be a good point, actually, to just talk a little bit about your father and your father's career.
Yes.
If you wouldn't mind just telling us a little bit about that.
Yes, I've got something there which you can take with you about him. But he because he was my... There was one, two, three, four brothers. So there was it was a large family. And obviously when they were born, my grandfather, you know, wasn't earning all that much money. So he was the eldest. So my grandfather must have said, you know, as soon as you can work, you start working. So he was employed as a crane clerk at the age of 14.
Wow.
At the age of 14. And that was his job, but he was a very brilliant man in his own way. He was clever, he was very quick onto things, you know. So he was promoted very, very quickly. Up the ladder, he went to the port department and the treasury, and then they wanted him in the colonial secretariat, and he went to the colonial secretariat, and then eventually he became what at that time was the highest post that a Gibraltarian could aspire to, which was assistant colonial secretary. And then, at the time of Godley, which was Godley really is the sort of beginning of the 30s, when obviously perhaps relations with the there was, of course, the famous incident of the with the Calpe hunt, which needed some sorting out. But at any rate, our relations with Spain were important and all the rest of it. And at that time, I think that he began doing diplomatic work for the governors, became diplomatic secretary. And in fact, you know, he was made part of the Foreign Office. My father was in the Foreign Office. That's why I can show you photographs of him dressed with his... with his plumed hat,
yes,
and all the rest of it, even the Foreign Office. So he then became, and of course, he did a lot of very good work during the Spanish Civil War. In fact, one or two things I've got there on that. But at any rate, I mean, he was a person who really was knew all these people and all the rest of it, and they sort of were prepared to help him so he could find out what was going on and let the governor know what was going on. And then he was, whenever they got cries for help from some Spanish families, he would go off to see what he could do about it. And he rescued quite a few families, you know, going to ports and really putting them on a British destroyer in Malaga or something, getting them out of Spain. And we've got, there's one particularly well-known guy, apparently, I put a letter from him. There's an article in the newspaper also showing this guy who must have been famous for something. So he did a lot of that. And I've got letters. I can't interpret them because of very bad writing. But I've got half a dozen letters or months of letters there from people saying, thank you very much for all you did for us.
Mm-hmm. One of the things you mentioned earlier about your father, because he was up the coast, making friends with military officers.
Yes, round really from towards Algeciras. Yeah.
Because what's really interesting from the Gowing, because Dudley Gowing as commissioner, your next door neighbour.
Yes,
he was really, really good friends. And what the picture, because he wrote his memoirs.
Yes,
but what comes out, and the same with your father, was all the relations there were pretty good.
They're good
and
good.
It was all down on a one-to-one basis. Because
yeah,
there were some in the Spanish side who were towards the Nazis and some towards the British. And the ones that
yes
were people like your father and Gowing who cultivated these friendships.
Yes, yes, that's right. That's right. So my father had... and he knew all the people around, I mean, in Seville, in Jerez, and not just around where Gibraltar was, because he made trips in that direction. So, I mean, he was, I don't think he was told all the truth, but he was in, they got him to go to try to recover the guy who was, you know, whose body was put in to, you know?
Oh,
the man who never was.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Mm. I think that what they did was, they didn't tell my father the truth, but they got him to go to his contacts in near Huelva, or must have been Seville or Jerez, yes, or something, you know, and say, well, we want this back, this want this body back, and all the rest of it, you know, in order to, you know, to,
but didn't
to
he
make the story authenticated that way.
Didn't your father used to go up and brief the ambassador in Madrid?
He did, yes. He did, and in Lisbon. Mm. And in Lisbon. He'd do, as I think I told you on the phone, he had a Ford V8 made in Canada, sort of coupe, two very small seats at the back, and in the boot they put a huge tank, so he could go Gibraltar, Madrid, Lisbon, and back without having to fill up with petrol.
And what do you know what those visits were about? Just passing?
Well, that, yes, he was a courier. So he would be carrying messages. I've got two of his courier things, actually, in the papers there. Mm. Two of his courier things saying that, you know, they'd be given safe passage and all the rest of it. So he would. But then, you know, he had a lot of acquaintances. One of the things that I remember Toghi told me was the fact that, for example, he was in very friendly relations. I think because he'd been an officer down there with General Jordana, who was a foreign minister. And the ambassador got very annoyed one day when he arrived in Madrid, you know, and he was invited out by the foreign minister to lunch when he'd been trying to see the foreign minister and hadn't been able to see him, you know. So he had all these acquaintances like that, so he did that, and then I think the thing about it was that he was trusted, you know, they trusted him as a thing, as a man, you know. It comes out in all the letters,
yes,
there, that I've got there from them, especially the ones, you know, who either stopped doing something or were saying, you know he was trusted for them, and therefore, you know, he was very valuable from their point of view. So they would say things to him and he would say things to them, and you know, and
because what comes out in Ben McIntyre, the journalist,
yes,
who did Operation Mincemeat, that was the book.
Yes,
the man,
Ben, yes, that's right.
Paints a really good picture about how the Germans were, you know, trying to get in with the Spanish in Seville and up and round Madrid, and it was so were the British. So it was, you know, all three parties were sort of playing each other off.
Yes, when they sunk the Hood, they had a huge party, the German, Spanish sort of supporters in Seville, I think. Mm. So when we thanked the Bismarck, we had one too.
and what governors did he serve under? So
from Godley to Eastwood.
So from that would be Gort, Ironside, McFarlane.
No, there's no St. McFarlane, that's right. Liddell, Clive Liddell. I can't remember all the names, but anyway, all of those.
So about five or six.
Five or six, yes.
And did he say anything about
Harrington?
Did he say anything about what it was like serving under the different governors?
No, what he said was that his favourite one was Gort.
Yes.
Mm. Lord Gort. He had a very, very good, as you can see. I've got lots of letters.
Now that's really interesting, because Gowing's come out very strongly saying he was a sort of people's type governor.
Yeah.
Period was that? What was called?
Whatever it was. Fine. Get the. Do you want me to get the book? We just got them all. Mm. I think it's 40. I'll get the book. I've got the.
Can I turn it off for a moment?
So that was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 governors from 1928. To 1944, 46, whenever Eastwood finished, yeah. And he said that Charles Harrington, whenever there was a garden party, people had to come in, and, you know, they were obviously introduced to the governor and his wife as they come in. If it was a male, he always said, "Hello, George," to every male, whatever his name was. That was Harrington. Edwin Ironside, I got a lovely photograph of him, actually, signed. But I didn't say anything about that, or Liddell particularly. It's Gort, really.
That, what were the dates that your father was the colonial secretary for? Was it...
Well, I don't know when he started, to tell you that.
I've got 1927 written down here, is that?
No.
Entered colonial service in 1927.
Oh, yeah. Well, it says, 1913 entered colonial service.
No, he, yes.
I don't know, maybe...
Colonial service, yes, because he wasn't in the colonial service presumably when he was doing the other things he was doing, because he was in the treasury, in the port, and the
yes,
and the thing. I don't know that there must be some.
Did he? I mean, did he tell you lots of things about his? How do you know so much about your father? I mean, have you researched him, or did he tell you?
No, he told me. Yeah, he told me a lot of these stories, you know, of like the one about George. And Gordy Jess really loved. He loved Gordon. He had a very good, I mean, the two relationships that he had that really were very close and was with Gordon, and that's why I got lots of letters from Gordon. And the other one was with Admiral Sir James Somerville. He was a great friend of Somerville. And I got lots of letters there. In fact, he pinched his security card. I've got it there, his security identity card. And he asked for it back, and he never gave it back. I think he must have said, I want it as a souvenir, but I'll show it to you later. And when James Somerville used to come back from the escorting, from doing something with Force H, my father would say to him, no, well, you've got to rest, because he didn't sleep for about a week, you know. So he used to put him in his car. And my father had a car which had a CD on it, you know, and everyone knew him at the front anyway, because he was going in and out the whole time. So as they came up to the frontier, everyone saluted, you know, and James Somerville used to say, how do they know me, Harry? How do they know me? Well, you're very well known, sir. Everyone knows you. They were saluting my father. But he never told it.
And so the role of your father as assistant colonial secretary, one of his roles must have been to brief and like be the personal secretary for each of the governors.
Well, yes, that's right. And I've got a wonderful letter there from Somerville saying, I'm always being asked what was the intelligence like, you know, and I said the intelligence was awful. Except for Harry Norton's. He was excellent.
Oh, wow.
That's what the sum of it.
Yes.
Yeah, and that goes back to what you said right at the beginning, because of all his connections.
That's right. He knew his connection.
He had the right man.
And I've got a letter there from McFarlane saying, I don't know if I would have been able to carry on without you.
That's fantastic. Mm. Yeah.